and some bad things the same way. And sometimes a peer is not this big group of a whole bunch of people. It's just one person or two people. In fact, most of the time that's what it is. It's not a whole bunch of people. So has everybody got a Bible today? Okay. I got a few verses we're going to read, so I'm just going to go straight through you. None of them are very long. So we'll just start right here. But you look up Proverbs 1:10. You look up Exodus 23:2. Proverbs 4:14 and 15. Oh, this is like preschool. I have to say it. My dad made me say everything three times to people. Proverbs, well, she can probably help you besides you if you don't know how to find it. Proverbs 1:10. Verse 1. Verse 10. Chapter 1. You're just reading one verse. Okay, Exodus 23:2. Write this on that paper you're supposed to have. Proverbs 4:14 through 15. Proverbs 27:12. Psalms 1, 1 and 2. And I'm going to keep the back row, and I'll just tell you yours. Well, why don't you look up Corinthians 10:13. Okay, then you go ahead right now. Proverbs 13:19 and 20. Okay, so let's start with the first one we talked about. So, and if you have problems reading, it's okay. I always have problems reading. I'm a little better at math. And usually you're better at one or the other, but some people are better, good at both. So you read Proverbs 1:10. Okay, now say that again. Do it nice and loud. Yeah, that's right, verse. Okay. If sinners try to lead you into sin, do not go with them. That's the version I got. That's Proverbs 1:10. Huh? Well, I have a couple different ones, but that's pretty easy. I have a couple other that are harder, but that's easy for anybody to understand, right? It's just if sinners try to lead you into sin, which is what we're talking about, peer pressure, do not go with them, right? So, can anybody think of a time when somebody wanted them to go to something that might be sin or might be in the gray area of sin, and then you decided not to go? You all should have one here. Okay, what's one you can think of? Puts it in nowadays terms. With rocks.
Yep.
I did that when I was a kid, and I got spanked. And then I learned not to do it. Oh. Okay, so breaking windows. Well, it is tempting, right? I mean, you see that window, you got this rock, you can throw it through it. I know I can make it break. I can throw it hard enough and I can hit it, right? But you know when you're getting ready to do it, it's probably not the right thing to do, right? Okay, can you think of one? Okay. One of the biggest things when you're a little kid, and I got two grandkids that are one, and they're already dealing with this, is a thing called jealousy. You guys know what jealousy is, right? So, like, I'll get one on my lap, and the other one wants to get on the lap, push the other one off. They learn that right away. They want the attention, and they want the other person not to have it. So we all have probably done something in our family to our brother or sister or cousin because we wanted something, right? Especially brothers and sisters. Right? So we've all done something probably there. You got anything? You can't think of anything? Nothing? You're a good person. Who do you think you are, Brandon? Okay, well, Okay. Let's say I tell her, since she can't really remember, I say, Amanda, go do the dishes. And she'll go, no, I got homework. I got this, and I don't want to do that, and can't Cody do it?
That's how I am.
Right. Okay. So she knows she should just get up and go do the dishes because she's supposed to do honor her mother and father and supposed to do what she's asked to do. Brandon, you got anything, or do I have to bring something up on you? Well, just a temptation you've had. I mean, that's what we're really talking about is a temptation that you had that you either did or you had it and then you didn't do it. But it was there. You wanted to do it. You wanted to slap your brother a couple times. A lot of times. Well, we all probably have that. That's why I said that's probably the number one thing for kids is their brothers and sisters, right? Is you want to do something to them or get even with them or something. I'm actually looking more for things that you've done as a group, like the throwing rock thing, because that's where you talked about it and it seemed fun. You know, like we're gonna throw rocks. Have you guys ever said, this is what my son did this once with his cousin. He goes, hey, grandma's got cookies in there. We can sneak in there and get the cookies. Right? And so they sneak together in there and they get the cookies. Have any of you done that before? Taking food and ate food you weren't supposed to eat? Oh, I used to do that, and I open it, and I go back to my room, the black olives, and I'd eat them, and then my mom would find the can later because I forgot to throw it away. But that was individual. I didn't do that one as a group. I didn't have peer pressure to do it. Okay, has anybody else got anything that you've done that you got peer pressure on? Okay. If you haven't gotten peer pressure on this, that means you're probably hanging out with pretty good people. But most people get peer pressure at some point to steal candy from a store, right? You've all walked into a store and wanted some candy and thought about maybe taking it, but you didn't because you knew you'd get spanked, you knew it was wrong, you knew it would upset Jesus. There's all these reasons that you didn't do it, right? But we all probably thought that. I'd like to have that candy and I ain't got no money, right? Well, I think that's one that most kids go through, and I went through that when I was a kid. Now I just buy it and I just store it right there. Okay, Exodus 23:2. Okay. So who can explain what that one meant? Is that one hard? Well, what it's really meaning is that you don't follow the crowd into, the crowd might want to punish somebody in a court or something. The one you should be able to think of is there was all this crowd of people and there was these three people hanging on a cross, right? And they got down to this two and the crowd wanted them to crucify Jesus, who didn't do anything wrong, and not the other guy, Barnabas. But the crowd was swayed. So there were some people that probably knew Jesus was a good person, right? And they got swayed into yelling his name, and then they saved the wrong guy. Well, for us, we don't really hang people like that. We don't have things like that. But we do have courts and stuff. And so have you all been in there and a teacher goes, all right, who threw that chalk against the rope? What road? I mean, the wall. I don't know what you guys do. We did stuff like that. Okay, and then you're all there. And then he goes, did you do it? And then you, if the group of you want to say he didn't do it when he did do it, now that you're falling into the crowd, you know he did it, right? So in a crowd, you'll do stuff, you know, you can get persuaded because the whole crowd's saying it. And that's what that one's talking about. And that's the peer pressure. There's pressure to say that because you got to go against everybody to say, well, he didn't do it. He really did do it. Okay. With that, there was a thing Have any of you ever heard somebody say, I plead the fifth? What does that mean? That's nothing about the Bible. That's about our Constitution here in America, the Fifth Amendment, which means you don't have to tell on yourself or you don't have to tell on somebody else. So you probably don't have to tell the teacher. You don't have to raise your hand and say, Bobby's the one that did it. I saw him. Well, maybe your dad's throwing chalk.
I wouldn't doubt it.
So you don't have to do that, or you don't have to say, I did it. But if the teacher takes you one-on-one and says, did you throw the chalk? And you did throw it, you got to be honest and not lie. Right? So if he said, did you see somebody throw the chalk? And you don't want to get in trouble. In America, we would say, I plead the fifth. And then he knows you do know who did it, but you're not telling him. Right? Because we've all done that with inside our own friends, right? We did something. We told them, okay, I will not tell anybody what you told me or whatever it is. We do this a lot with Christmas presents. I won't tell anybody what you told me you were getting somebody. And then they tell somebody else. Then you go to somebody else and says, do you know what he got me? I'm not going to tell you. I might know, but I'm not telling you. Right? So there's some peer pressure. We get that at our family, peer pressure on that. Okay, who's got the Proverbs 4, 14 and 15?
Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on.
Okay, anybody? What does that mean? Right, it's pretty self-explanatory, is that what you're saying? Okay, so do not follow when you have evildoers. So in our example before with the rock, so if we've got 10 kids over here and we're all throwing rocks at the windows, you know that's probably an evil thing. You should walk away, right? And don't do it. So what are some evil things or things that are sins or that could be sins that you guys in your groups in school, what do you come up against that you should, that you just walk away from? Or as you guys all go to a school, it's perfect.
Well, there's this lunch rotation that we have. And stop. But, there's a brunch, a lunch rotation, and then we have, a math group, and then we go to lunch, and then we go outside when we're done with lunch. And, we're not allowed to go inside after we go outside. So, I'm pressured to go inside again because my friends want to do something.
Right. Well, that's a good one. You get that stuff. You even probably get stuff at, I don't know, I know some of you guys had recess, and you go out for recess, and you could be over there throwing pine cones at each other or snowballs at each other, and you're not supposed to do it, right? So you get some pressure to, I know you've had pressure to throw snowballs. In fact, I think you've thrown them at me. What? Okay, that's probably the number one thing that you're all going to hit as you get into high school and get older, is your friends are going to go to parties that are not cake and ice cream fun parties. They're parties with other stuff that are that's with alcohol and things like that. And you'll get that, and you're all going to get that one. And you're going to have a good friend change and go to that party and group, and you're going to have to walk away from them. You're going to have to do exactly what that says right there. You're going to have to walk away from evildoers. And it's hard to do because that's one of your best friends, but they're kind of getting into it. You got to just go the other way. Then that doesn't mean that you have to go around and tell everybody how bad they are. You just don't really hang out with them as much as you used to. You find other friends, and you don't even have to tell them that you're not their friend because you can still help them later when they fall down and need some help. Instead, you're going to continually find different friends, and eventually maybe a spouse that becomes a really big friend. And spouse, which would be a husband or a wife. And so that kind of leads us into how do we How do we see that coming? Okay, Proverbs 27, 13. I can barely hear you. Are you doing Proverbs 27, 12? Because I think you're off. Okay. So a prudent person. Does anybody know what prudent is, word means? That's kind of a tough word. We don't use that one a lot in ours, does it? What is prudent? Okay, well, the definition of it, in when I looked it up, is acting with or showing care and thought for the future. So it means thinking it through, being prudent. You're thinking things through. If you're prudent, you're doing your due diligence to do the right thing. So it says, the prudent person, the one that thinks things through and thinks like in the future, like when you go to throw the rock, as you're releasing it, you think, oh, wow, there's going to break some glass. It's going to be pretty cool. But if you're prudent, you're thinking, oh, no, I'm breaking somebody else's glass. That's not my glass. And then they have to pay for it. And then I'm also getting in trouble. Plus, I'm going to upset them people. Plus, I'm going to upset my parents. Plus, I don't think Jesus wants me to do this because that's not my glass. Now, if I buy a piece of glass and then I throw a rock and break it, I can do it all I want because I paid for it. I went and worked for it. So the prudent is seeing it coming. So what happens is you all get with the friend and you don't see things coming because you're not being prudent. You're not looking ahead. And this happens to me, still happens to me, happens to you all your life. You'll find, has anybody had a friend that is just so fun to be around? You just click right away. It's just like, what do they think like you? And everything's fun. And then a little while later, you find out they're a little rougher than you thought. They're not really leading you the right way, but they still are a lot of fun to hang out with. Then you might have another friend over here that's not quite as fun to hang out with, but they think like you, and they're doing the right things. You can't point at her. Are you pointing at her for the first part or the second part?
Second.
The second, yeah, she says first, she's like. But, so we've all had that, right? So sometimes the fun that you have with somebody, you can't let them lead you down the path. You have to think ahead about what they're doing, which, again, you can put that into the partying. If you have a friend that's really fun to be around and everything, but they start going partying, going the wrong way, you got to walk away from it, even though you have fun with them. You've got to find another friend and go the other way. So you got to see ahead. Okay. Psalms 1, 1 and 2. All right. Was that one easy? Does everybody understand that one? That one's had a few big words in it. Even for me, we don't use scornful that often. But blessed is the man. You're going to be blessed when you're doing the right things, right? We all kind of knew that. Kind of taught that when you were a kid, right? But you need to, the key here is to not delight into the evil thing, because evil is fun for a season sometimes. It's delight in doing good, doing the good thing, right? Like, has any of you had to stay home and do something for your mom that you didn't want to do, but then when you did it, you had to stay home for something you knew it was the right thing and you felt good about it. It felt good inside. You did the right thing. Well, with your peer pressure, you're going to have that too. You're going to, when you do the right thing, it's not going to feel that good right then, but it will feel good later when you did the right thing. People will respect you long term. I have a son that went through a bunch of that. There's a bunch of people partying, and he would tell them that they shouldn't do that, and And then later on, they kind of quit when they got out of high school and everything, and they came back to him, and they totally respected him, even though they couldn't hang out with him in high school because they were doing the wrong things. But they came around to it later, some of them. Okay, who did I have here? 1 Corinthians, that's 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Okay, so what is that about? I couldn't really hear you, but I know what it says here. I'm a little deaf, but that was about temptations, right? So does anybody know what the word temptation means? What does it mean? Can I explain it?
No.
Well, if there's a piece of cake there with your favorite frosting, and your mom says, do not eat that, and then you're sitting there staring at it. Are you tempted to reach over there and take some? That's temptations. Okay, temptations when you're being tempted because something looks right, but you know you shouldn't be doing it. Right? And so it says in there that, God will never put you in a temptation that you can't handle. So you guys brought up, most of it's later in high school. Some of you probably aren't quite. Is everybody in high school? You guys aren't all in high school, right? Everybody's in high school? Okay. Well, you start getting these temptations. Like I said, if Brandon's had somebody ask him to go partying, and that's a temptation. It's not a temptation to go to do the wrong thing, but it's a temptation to go hang out with your friends. And so you can handle that one because you've never done it before. It's easy. A little hard to handle the temptation of not putting your finger in the cake frosting that's sitting right in front of you. A little hard on that one, but you can do it if your mom tells you to do it. And for me, my mom would swap me hard enough, I definitely wouldn't do it. But you're supposed to handle the temptations too, because what would Jesus do? Would he reach over there and take some of that frosting? Nope, he'd wait. Huh? I know, but you know you're going to get some time anyway, so you just have to hold out. Okay, so now Proverbs 13, 19 and 20. Okay. Does everybody understand that one? Because that's, to me, that's the key right there to everything. That's the key to the temptations. Is if you think about Jesus, you're going to be less tempted. If you're studying the Bible, you're going to be less tempted. If you hang out with wise people, you're going to be less tempted. And as high schooler, your friends are a big, big deal. As you get older, it's not quite as big a deal. But when you're young, it's a big deal that you have friends. And your world kind of revolves around your friends, even though it's not supposed to. But if you hang out with bad friends, bad things are going to happen to you. And this is talking about hanging out with wise people. If you hang out with wise people, wise things will happen to you. You know, I always said that if you want to know how to do something, you find the person that does it right, and you just go do what they do. It ain't that hard. So that verse goes right back to the Proverbs 4, 14, and 15 that we just talked about, right? If you're hanging out with somebody bad, you walk away. Unless you want to end up like that. And how do you walk away? I don't think that it's good to you can walk away however you want to, however you have to. But it's probably best just to find another reason. So if I have a bad friend that they want me to come over and spend the night, and I come and spend the night, and then they say, this is the way kids do it. So, and then you get over there, and then they got all these friends, and then they decide to go partying at somebody else's house. And so all the parents think they're spending the night at somebody else's house. Parents aren't very smart. They don't know that's happening. But that's what happens. And so when that starts to happen to you and you realize that he told his mom he's spending the night at your house and you're spending the night at his house, and next thing you know, you're out on the street going wherever you want, and they want to go to a party, what do you do? Well, you at that point, you're going to tell them probably that this, you know, I can't do this. I told my mom I was going to your house. I got to be at your house. Oh, we're all going to go party. My mom thinks we're at your house. Well, that's when it's hard. The temptation, the peer pressure is there. This is your friend. This ain't just nobody. It's your friend. But you make excuses anytime I ask any of you to do any work. You know how to make excuses. Just make an excuse. You know what? I got a bunch of homework. I got to go home tonight. That's my daughter's favorite one. But there's other ones. You know, but you got any excuse. You can say, oh, I forgot. You know, I need to eat, which you do need to eat. So go home and eat. And you just kind of get away from it. You walk away from it. And that's kind of ties that one to the other one. I think that's a big deal because that's going to happen to you at different times throughout your life. Especially in high school and college, when you get older, it's hopefully you marry somebody wise and you're around wiser people and you don't get as many temptations that way. Okay. Does anybody want to look up, because I don't think I gave anybody first, who had first Corinthians before? Your Bible already still on there? Do 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Right, so if you have good habits, which we're hoping everybody that's in the church and around the church that understands Jesus has good habits, good morals, we use that word too, morals, habits. You know, you guys know what that means, right? It's the things you kind of do. You kind of do the good things. But it says do not be deceived. Bad company, bad people, bad friends will ruin your morals. All of a sudden you're loosened up on your morals. Now, each generation says that. We say that about our whole country. Oh, the morals, you know, my grandpa used to say that, and my dad says it. Now I'm saying it. And that's a part of the deal. I mean, we used to be a more godly country years ago. And we looked at Jesus more, and we were the most, to my knowledge, the most blessed country in the world because of that. And so a bunch of us got to start looking back that way to help in them areas, and then starting with your group of friends, then in your school and your family, and then your area. So, but if you just hang out with bad people, your morals are going to change a little bit. And they just kind of gradually change. You don't see it coming. Then all of a sudden you look around. Oh my gosh, I'm doing all the stuff I shouldn't be doing. Well, as soon as you realize it, because God will let you realize it, you get out of there. You turn away and go away. Okay. I'll just do this one. You guys don't have to look at this one. This is Romans 12:2. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. You guys probably all heard this one before. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God, God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So have you ever heard, don't do things of this world? There's another verse about that. I got it right over here. What do they mean? What do they mean by that? Don't copy the customs of this world. There are shows on TV where these kids are just like sassing and backtalking their parents, right? That'd be a custom of our world right now, right? Everybody thinks it's funny. That's not funny, and that's not right. Right, that's an example that you've all probably seen, right? You've all seen a show, even a Disney show that does that, right? And that ain't right. You got to know the difference of that. And you don't do it just because the world's doing it, just because because everybody's doing it. And if you have a concern or you don't know what's right and wrong, where do you find out what's right and wrong? Anybody know? Right there, she pointed at the Bible. You find it in the Bible. You guys it's so much easier for you. I'm doing it now too. You can just look it up on your phone or on your computer and you can find the answer right there to read right to you. We used to read through the whole thing to find that thing. We didn't know how to find it. And then we'd go ask a pastor and they'd help us. But now you guys got the internet that just gets you right to whatever you want to get to. So that's how you find that. Okay, well, this is part of that same thing. This is 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the world, of the love of the Father, is not in him. When I was younger, that one hurt me. I didn't understand that one. I was like, but I love ice cream. I'm not supposed to love ice cream? Is that what it means? Okay, what does it mean? Okay, listen, because this one can stumble, you guys. I mean, you should have verses every once in a while that just don't make sense. You got to go talk to somebody about it. 1 John 3:15, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Right, because... Right, because we do a lot of sin, and when you first get saved, of course you all know how you got to get saved to go to heaven, right? Once you're saved, you got to believe in Jesus. You know, you got to ask him to come into your life. But when you're first saved, and even when you've been saved for 30 years, you still have a lot of sin you're doing. You don't even realize it. And God keeps showing it to you. Has that happened to anybody? Or just happened to me? That's happened to you? Happened to you guys before? Where you're doing some sinning? You've never sinned? You don't can't remember any? Well, you just told us about the rock through the window. Right, have you been? Right, you do different things. So you learn about those and things of the world. And what it really means, too, is you're putting the world before Jesus, before God. So that means it's more important that you love the world than you love God. And that's a big term to it. And like in your minds, and I've talked to my daughter about this many times, is you should, your belief in Jesus is the most important thing. Then your family. Then your occupation, which would be school for you guys right now. And then your friends. Man, when you're in junior high and high school, you sure like to swap that around. Just turn it totally upside down, right? Friends are number one. I think about my friends all the time. But you got to work on that, keeping that right. Okay, this one here, there was this little Disney movie that reminds me of this, but it says, if it goes against God, God's word, or your conscience, you don't do it. Say no. We've all had something that went against our conscience, right? And we weren't positive it was against God's word. We had to look it up. We had to figure it out. And I'm talking about kind of the gray areas, even the putting the finger in the ice cream, in the cake frosting. And no, we were talking about cake earlier. I didn't mean to say ice cream. So we've all, your conscience tells you not to do that, right? And you need to say no and not do that. There's this guy named Jiminy Cricket that was a conscience back when we were, when Geraldine and I were younger. You guys have your own. I don't know who you guys got for your conscience now, but we don't, when we see something that we feel is wrong, that's our conscience telling us we don't do it. We say no. Okay. We'll end with this. Okay, when you start thinking, oh man, this is a little bit confusing, even though it's easy subject, but it can be confusing because there's little gray areas connected with it, right? You know what I mean by gray area? Where you don't really know if it's right or wrong, or it could be wrong, could be right. Teasing is a very example of that. I deal with this one all the time. I like to tease people. So when is teasing fun, and fun for the person you're doing it to, fun for you and fun for all your friends, and then when is it you're really hurting somebody's feelings and it's going to last for a long time? Then it's bad, right? So teasing can be fun because you all laugh and joke and tease your friends, right? Oh, you wear that funny hat, and that's funny, right? But then you say it to the wrong person, oh, you wear that funny hat, and they're hurt, and they're going, oh, man, them guys didn't like me because I had my hat on. And it's hard to know that, right, sometimes, right? So teasing is a tough one. So for me, I always just make sure I laugh afterwards so they know I'm joking, I made that up, your hat's fine. But when you are struggling with what is right and what is not right, you just got to remember Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So that means you might not always be able to do everything right, but if you pray and keep your relationship going with Jesus, everything will make sense to you. You'll get wiser. You'll get smarter. You'll know when you're teasing somebody, hurting their feelings, and when you're just joking. You'll know when it's kind of okay to go ahead and grab that frosting because your mom's kind of put it out there. She knows you're going to do it, and it's okay, and other times it isn't okay. You know, because the family's going to eat it all or whatever the rules are in your family. So, to end all that, will everybody come up here? Let's make a circle.